Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and my co-host here, Andrew, my happy son, Newman.
Yep.
And Joey G, a little bummed out in the booth.
What it is.
It's what happens.
Oh. All right. Well, let's try
it
to cheer everybody up.
What
I got.
It is.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
All right. Let me. Please.
I wish people could see your hair right now. It's phenomenal. You have like this bump in the front going on from the headphones.
I have.
You have like a little rat's tail going on in the back. You are styling like a mofo.
Oh, thank you for another compliment, Andrew. Isn't he just the most joyous?
I'm just trying to help you look good.
Yeah. All right. I don't know how I made it this far without all your little help.
I don't either. I can't understand how you survive.
Can I please? We stream live every Thursday.
4:35.
Every Wednesday. Every Thursday, 4:35, except for today. All the shows are archived on the website. You can download a free podcast through iTunes, or you can listen to any episode you want. We'd love to hear from you during the show today, even if you...
We'd love to hear from you in general, but not today.
But
in the future, the phone number, if you are listening to this podcast, is 718-497-2128, or you can email questions at info@heritageradionetwork.org, and we will read them next week or in the following weeks. You know, if you catch us in a few weeks in the future,
yes.
We will read those emails as they come in.
Sure. So we're 24/7. You can contact us all the time.
We're only streaming for a half hour normally per week, but you can listen to us whenever you have the chance to. We appreciate your listenership, and we hope that you keep downloading our podcast if you cannot listen live.
That's true.
Thank you. Have a nice week.
Very good. Now, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget to sign up for membership. Heritage
Flash
Radio.
Flash Talks Cash has its own membership.
No, it does not have Flash.
We should.
Heritage Radio has a membership program now, which is a great investment into radio, and it affords lots of discounts to a lot of different venues, lots of eating and drinking throughout the country, not only New York City.
What?
So the membership is only $60 for an individual. It's a great deal. And look on our website and find out more information about membership.
Yes.
And, you know, as a member, sponsored radio station, we can do a lot more things for members because you have an equal voice now in the radio station.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you can.
No,
we
you
will
don't.
Listen to you as members.
No,
yes,
you don't.
Because you pay
BS.
The bill.
BS. Anyway, free questions, free tax advice from Flash Talks Cash.
Free.
With membership or just for calling in. If you call in.
Okay, can we please get to
or
the show?
Or email us. Email us too. We'll take anything. We'll take anything.
Twitter.
Hit us a Twitter, Facebook, anything. Just send us questions. God damn it.
Our show today, Andrew's a little desperate today. Joe's bummed out and Andrew's desperate.
Ah, Joe.
I'm going to have to straighten out
this. What happened
this
week, Joe?
Can I
God.
Please?
Weird week, man.
Weird week indeed.
So the show, if you're looking for a new career, I have a new career for anybody out there.
I got a job.
This applies to everybody and anybody. You could become a whistleblower.
Well, that's only if you have a job.
No.
And they're doing something illegal.
Well, no, not true. Not true. You could be a whistleblower for even if you don't work inside of a company.
Yeah, but how would you find out the information?
Well, you know, the IRS has a whistleblowing program. So
yeah, if you know the information.
Well, that's true. So you can know somebody like a storekeeper, or you can know your neighbor, or you can know a cousin of yours is cheating.
So you're ratting. You want people to rat
that's
on people.
That's what whistleblowing is all about. But
ratting.
Let me tell you some stories.
You're
about
a rat.
I'm
jumping ship on this. You're really a rat?
Oh, my gosh.
Joe.
Listen, let me tell you. Yeah, pay now or pay later.
No, you're a snitch.
Pay now or pay later. If someone you know is ripping off the government or ripping off a company,
question.
Then we ultimately pay for that.
What's
because
the second
the company,
half of the show about?
Oh, Andrew's going to talk about.
About what?
Football pools, knockout pools.
And is that legal? No.
Well, no, yeah,
so,
no.
So
the
you,
one that I'm talking about is a fundraiser.
Them?
It's a fundraiser.
You don't win any money?
You win money.
You're snitching.
They keep money and they give half the money to the winner.
You got a 1099?
I suppose.
You're reporting
so.
That income?
Of course.
Yeah. You're ratting people out left and right.
Oh, boy.
God. Where did I come from?
So let's talk about what's her name? Her name here is Lynn Zamoniak. Lynn Zimoniak was a whistleblower. She didn't intend to be a whistleblower. She didn't work inside this company. Listen to this interesting story. She got $18 million as a whistleblower because she got foreclosure papers from the bank. And she was one of six Americans who won the big national foreclosure settlement. And they collected all six of them, $46.5 million, according to the Justice Department. So they found out through the information Lynn and these other people provided that the five largest mortgage lenders, that would be Bank of America, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Ally Financial, they found that they were picking their...
Go ahead. What?
They were not doing the right thing. They were not doing the right thing with the mortgage foreclosures.
What were they doing wrong?
So their whistleblower suit comes from the False Claims Act, which allows private citizens, is what I just told you, you don't have to be an employee, to file lawsuits on behalf of the U.S. when they have knowledge that the government is being defrauded. And they're allowed to collect a portion of any of the penalties assessed in their case.
How did they defraud them, though, is the question.
Well, the thing they did was, they that money that the government gave to the banks to help homeowners who were sinking and foreclosing to modify their mortgages. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like, as we all know, that program didn't really do that well. Lots and lots of the failed homeowners didn't get any modification. She brought it to the attention that she wasn't getting it. The papers weren't actually her case. I'm sorry, wasn't actually being pushed through to be modified.
Okay.
But the other five whistleblowers, they come from the industry side. They put their careers at risk by flagging the bank's questionable practices. So one guy won $14.6 million. He was a home appraiser in Texas, and he accused the company of deliberately inflating home appraisals in order to collect higher claims from the FHA. And he was fired after making the complaints internally, of course. Then another guy won $1 million. He worked for a company that subcontracted Bank of America to assist homeowners pursuing modifications through the government home affordable program. The government offers bank incentive payments to support modifications. And he said the Bank of America violated its agreement with the government by deliberately preventing qualified borrowers from securing these modifications, steering them towards foreclosure or other costly modifications. The bank made more money. He was fired too after he complained internally. Then there were two guys who were executives from a mortgage company, and they accused the banks of overcharging veterans whose mortgages were guaranteed by the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they won $11.7 million. So the deal is, foreclosure thing was, is still going on. It's horrible. But these people did the right thing. Many of them lost their jobs, but there are also laws where the whistleblowers have protection from being fired and from being blacklisted from their industry and so forth and so on. Something like a witness protection plan. The government has to help these people after they come forward and report this. Now, here's an interesting one.
My question is, does the government get its money back at some point?
Well, the government... Oh, so the banks paid... billions in fines,
okay,
and money back to the program. Like they collected I think $25 billion, and so that's why there was plenty of money for the
Well, why don't we get a tax break
rewards
or something
for the rewards?
Why don't they give them like $1 million and then give the rest of us back to the tax people?
Because the program is set where they get a portion of what the recovery is. So that's how it's based upon a percentage.
God.
So here's an interesting one that everybody's pretty familiar with. This very recently in the paper, Mike McQuarrie. Remember that name?
Yes.
From the Sandusky Fund?
Yes.
So he just filed a whistleblower case. He says that he's plans to bring a whistleblower against the university.
For what?
And he claimed that the university's decision to place him on administrative leave from his position as an assistant football coach in November of 2001 was directly related to his cooperation with the state's investigation into Sandusky's alleged sexual abuse of the boys and the cover-up.
But what I don't understand was the tax benefit.
There's no what do you mean tax benefit? He's looking for some money
from who?
Even from the university.
It's not a whistleblower. He's just filing a wrongful termination lawsuit.
No, it's a whistleblower. It's under whistleblower's law. So even though he was given paid leave, he could sue for monetary damages stemming from emotional distress and damage to his reputation. And makes him look bad for future employees that makes him almost unemployable. So
now that this is out, he should be highly employable as a stand-up guy who doesn't like children being molested.
Well, in this case, Sandusky's case went through the courts pretty quickly and was found guilty rather quickly. But, you know, there are lots of cases that drag on and they're delayed.
No, I'm saying he should be, like, highly employable now if he was really a good coach.
I don't know. You know, maybe some employers may perceive him as a troublemaker. Who knows? But anyway, now he's got a case. Well, maybe he never has to go to work again if he wins the whistleblower's case, right?
But I don't... It's a wrongful termination lawsuit. It's not a whistleblower.
So in his case, it's going to be a whistleblower. There are laws, and in this case, he's trying to
sue. But he didn't blow the whistle. The whistle was blown by someone else.
No, he blew the whistle.
In 01?
No, yeah, back in the day. Yes.
But then it took him another 11 years to figure it out?
That's right. It's not going to be an easy case, but that's how it goes. And now the SEC has just passed a law that they could now, the Congress has awarded them some money, and they can pay eligible individuals who come forward with high-quality original information that leads the SEC to cover over $1 million if they get $1 million in sanctions or more. Okay. And the range of awards is between 10 and 30% of the money collected. Now, this is new because in the past, the SEC only paid whistleblower cases on insider trading. Mm-hmm. Now, this is, you know, individuals who might own accounts or other people who are aware of some bogus Wall Street trading going on or whatever on that falls under the SEC. So it's expanding. The programs keep expanding. OSHA has always, long time, has had a whistleblower's case because employees who complain about dangers in the workplace have often been fired and have often been retaliated against. And OSHA has said, you know, we will protect these people who come forward and they will not lose their jobs and they will not be fired and they will not be blacklisted and all these other things. The recent programs coming out is due to the Frank Dudd laws that came after the financial crisis, when Frank Dodd expanded all the regulations on the financial companies. And so now they have expanded it to apply to many different agencies and corporations. The big corporations are a little worried about this because in the past, the corporations could control it internally because people had to go through internal steps in order to file a claim. Mm-hmm. Now, the whistleblower, if you're an employee in a big company, does not have to report it internally. They could step outside and report it to the various government agencies or go to a law firm and report it through that and file a case. So it's now going to...
So you have to file a legal lawsuit in order to be then backed up by the government and paid money?
Well,
is that what you're telling me?
No, there's a variety. You can go through the government for government violations. If you're in a company and you see this going on, you no longer have to go through your boss and the managers above you. You can now step outside. If you work for the bank and you find that they're doing something that violates, maybe you can go to the banking industry, you know, the banking agencies, things like that. So it's now they're opening it up where it's not as restrictive. It's way broader because there's a lot of fraud, and they find, everybody knows that if you uncover fraud before the fraud happens, it saves a lot of people a lot of money. The increase in the willing to blow the whistle is coming from all aspects of employees, taxpayers, neighbors, family members. Let's talk about the IRS. The IRS has had a whistleblower program for a long, long time. And from my own experience, not that I've ever been involved in whistleblower, but they don't really act on anything. They can barely keep their head above water and do what they're supposed to do. No less go after people that are ripping off the government through not filing taxes or tax fraud.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, the IRS feet have been put to the fire now at this Frank Dodd bill, because now they, you know, everybody's charged with having to get fraud under control. And so the IRS whistleblower now in 2010, the most recent year, said the IRS paid $18.7 million in rewards and collected $464 million in taxes stemming from whistleblower claims. And Grassley, who has been charging the IRS with they're not doing their job, said since last September, he heard from whistleblowers complaining their claims have still not been processed at the IRS. The IRS has two programs. There's the one above $2 million, and then there's the one below $2 million. And frankly,
How do they know which is which if it's just a whistleblower?
Well, the whistleblower has to give them good information. So, and then in the end, they say, okay.
But how do they know unless they actually start investigating?
Well, they can tell you an estimate in the beginning. I know that this guy's ripping somebody off, and it looks like it's a lot of money. Uh-huh. So that's how it works. The whistleblowers are out there. You can make a lot of money. People are making money. Medicare has had a whistleblowers program for a very long time. And, you know, if you're looking for a new job or a career, maybe that's the way to go for some people.
Just go around snitching, huh?
Let's take a break now, and then we'll come back and talk about other ways to make money, all right?
Grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Okay, we're back.
Flash Trolls
Cash. Yeah, it sounded like somebody wanted to be Johnny Cash.
I guess so.
He wants to raise cattle and he wants to sing. That's an interesting ad.
He's going
to
be playing music at the fundraiser party. On the
Wait, is that Jack Inslee in the booth?
Jack's,
that's me.
Jack's in the house.
Hey, guys.
All right.
Afternoon to you.
All right.
I'm here to plug the party, you know.
Oh, there we go. What party is that, Jack?
HeritageRadioNetwork.eventbrite.com, our first major fundraiser.
And when is it?
September 9th from 5 to 8.
Where is it?
Here.
Well, where's here?
Roberta's Garden.
Outside in Roberta's Garden, right?
There we go. And you can go on the website, heritageradionetwork.org.
Yeah.
Information's right up there.
That's right. You may get to meet Andrew Newman if you come to the party.
Let's not say that because I don't think Andrew Newman's going to be there. Yes, Andrew Newman has plans prior to the party planning. So, you know, I'm sorry I will not be there, but Flash is going to be in the house.
Better anyway.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for lying to her, Jack. But she needs it at this point in her life. She needs all the help she can get. Any confidence boost you can give her.
Oh, please. My son just gives me compliments just keep coming at him.
Wow, you stutter and yammer like a retard
sometimes. Can I please talk about the next part? Okay, so a few weeks ago, I got invited to a fundraiser. And it's to participate in the knockout football pool. And I have never heard of this. And I looked at what
Jack,
I was
have you ever heard of
do.
A knockout football pool?
No.
Joe? No.
So I'm in the majority here.
Apparently.
I looked at it and I'm like, I haven't a clue. I know that I have to pick a team.
Football's taken on many different forms of gambling and, you know, interactive
Okay. Well, this is similar to fantasy football, too.
It's more like a football pool, betting pool, those office pools where you pick games each week.
And this is legal because the money is being used for
fundraising. Part of it is given to a charity, yes.
Correct. So there are winnings, and then part of it is going to the good work.
Yes.
But
doing the good deeds.
And so I...
What is a knockout pool?
I don't know. What is a knockout pool? What does it mean?
All right. What it is it's you pick each week, you're given the list of games, and you need to pick the winner. You pick one winner for each game. No, you don't.
But there's 12 or 15 games here.
You only have to pick one.
Only pick one winner out of 15.
And then after
Step. Is there a point spread?
I don't know. It depends on your pool. Sometimes there's a point spread. Sometimes there isn't.
On this piece of paper, it doesn't look like there's a point
spread.
Then
there's not. It's just a winner. Okay. And then once you use a team, you can no longer use that team the rest of the season.
Oh, so week two, I have to find a new winner.
You can't use the same team again.
And so at the end, there's no
choices. There may be slim pickings or, tough matchups that you don't want to pick one of your holdouts.
Now, okay.
So there's a little strategery going on
in there. Now, my question is, at the end, the one with the most weekly winnings wins?
No. Every time you lose, you're out. You don't pick anymore. Yes.
Oh, so in the end, but there could be more than one winner.
There could be more than one winner. And you then either divvy it up or however you want to decide it. You can keep going into the playoffs and do spreads, or you can pick multiple games. It's up to you.
Now, how much does this... Now, I was told it's $25, but that's per week for every pick?
It's usually per season.
Oh, so for $25...
And a lot of people do a lot of different cards.
That's why I didn't understand. How many did I want to buy?
I have like three or four entries.
So you already have a knockout pool.
I don't do knockout pools.
Now, what's the difference between knockout pool and fantasy football?
Well, knockout pool is closer to like a weekly pool where you pick all the teams with the spreads.
Yeah, I remember that, but they were spreads. This doesn't have spreads.
So this is more like that.
Yeah, the old football tickets.
Like someone else is doing it.
Yeah.
Then there is individual gambling where you can parlay multiple games together. You can just take a game straight up if you have a good bookie.
But that's illegal.
Well, so
I'm doing legal. I'm talking only legal things on AM.
Okay, great. Then fantasy football is where you pick individual players from individual teams and you put them onto your team. So say I like Drew Brees. I pick him as my quarterback, and then everyone else, depending on how many friends you have, most of the time it's 10 to 12. And you fill out a team, filling out a various number of positions, usually about 10 people per team.
Yes.
And then you let your guys go each week. And
now, don't a lot of people want to have the same guys on their team?
Well, yes, but you only get to pick one guy.
So does it go round robin? So you pick.
It depends. Sometimes you do a conveyor draft. Sometimes you do a snake draft.
Hold on. You're not talking English now. Speak English.
All right. Conveyor draft is like, so you have 10 people. So the first guy picks, and then the next round, the first guy picks again. There's something called a snake draft. So he always gets
first pick?
Of each round. There's something called a snake draft where you go 1 through 12, and then number 12 picks again. And then it snakes back and forth round and round, which is a much more even way to go about it.
Right. Because everybody wants, not everybody, but the pickings for a quarterback is so important.
Well, it depends. Sometimes you want to go at a running back in the first round or
You don't all pick quarterbacks first. You don't have to. Oh, you pick anything you want. And you can have, if you want, 10 tackles on one team.
Well, no,
that'd be stupid, right?
No, you just pick offensive players like wide receivers, running backs, tight
ends. Oh, only offense players. You don't pick defense.
You pick one defensive team and one kicker.
All right. I have a question now. This is the part I always wondered about fantasy because, they have fantasy baseball too. If you pick your team and you got these, let's choose baseball because I understand baseball a little bit. You got these nine guys. How do you put them together to know if you win or lose? I got.
Well, this is where it differs. There's weekly, which is what most fantasy football are. You play one other team each week and you put your best team on the field and you get points depending on the categories for passing yards, rushing yards.
Depending on what they did that Sunday.
That week.
They get points.
Well, it could be broken down to points. You could total it up and then compare the teams. It's depends on how you break down
this
your
is
league.
A lot of math.
This is why computers are involved, so no one has to do any of the work.
Oh.
When they first started with fantasy sports, it took a lot more time.
Yes.
I usually did it on a weekly basis.
Yes.
Nowadays, computers do everything.
Oh.
And compute everything.
So out of Vegas, they come out with these points. Okay. So if you had...
No.
You
wait, had, wait. What are you talking about Vegas?
Well,
Vegas
I just assumed the bookies did this.
Fantasy sports has nothing to do with bookies.
Well,
There's no gambling. You don't really gamble on fantasy sports unless you're gambling amongst friends. And that's like,
Well, wait a second. What is fantasy football all about? You put money in, you expect to win a pool at the end of the season.
From your friends. It's not a bookie.
Okay. But what I meant to say is they have legal and illegal fantasy gambling out of Las Vegas, don't they?
I do not. Don't think so. I would say no.
Well, who determines the points? You say a computer. Somebody's putting information in.
Well, no. See, when you pick a person, Like, I picked Drew Brees. He passes for 300 yards.
Yes.
I usually, my leagues are broken down into points. I'm getting 20, a point for every 25 yards he throws. So he throws for 300 yards.
Yes.
I get, what is that?
So
12
who
points.
Does the math?
I get 12 points.
Who does the math?
Websites. ESPN has fantasy-based football.
Okay.
NFL.com
okay.
has fantasy-based
gotcha.
Football.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
They all do it. MLB has a fantasy baseball team.
Do they have the same numbers or each?
Well, the statistics are the same. How you break out your
that's
points.
That's right, what I'm saying. The points.
How you break out your points is up to your league manager who decides what the point breakdown is and the categories you're going to use.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty straightforward and standard for football. Baseball, there's a lot more categories to use with all the different statistical things that they have nowadays.
Now, why would ESPN and all those other websites...
Why would they do that? Because that brings people to the website every day.
So my question is... Do they endorse this gambling? Is it legal or illegal? It's illegal gambling, what you're talking about, fantasy.
Yes.
But I see fantasy, it's like... It's
well,
like,
people still enjoy it. It's the competitive nature of it. You can just say, I picked this team against 12 other guys.
And not necessarily have money involved.
Yeah. You could play for $10 each or play for nothing. It's up to you.
I understand.
But, you know, the money makes it more competitive.
Got it.
And people pay more attention. Like, if you're giving up
of
after
course.
Week five of a football season, then, like, it's a waste of time that you haven't played in the league in the first place.
Uh-huh.
That's why you put the money up there, so it makes people stick around and pay more attention. The websites love it. Because then they go to the website for baseball every day. People in fantasy baseball go every day.
Of course, because it's 162 games.
Yes, and then football, they go every day as well just because they want to see if anyone got hurt. And each day in football, someone else gets hurt, they report each different days.
And do you lose points when somebody gets hurt?
No, they just don't play.
You don't get to use them anymore.
You get
zero. You can't replace your guy if somebody gets hurt? Oh, you can.
They
have a disability list?
DL spots in all sports. Well, depending on your league, but usually it's a DL spot. If someone gets hurt, you... take someone off the waiver wire. A waiver wire is a whole another story.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a waiver wire in baseball.
Yes.
Like you waive someone on your team, someone else can pick them up.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Do you trade during the season? You can trade. And if your league is...
And you have to trade with somebody who has that person already on their team? Can two people have the same people on their team?
No.
So you can only have one out of your...
Each player can only be on one team. It's like real life.
Okay, so if I have a great running back,
yes.
your running back is lousy.
And you have an awful quarterback and have a great quarterback.
You could do a trade.
In real life, why do they call it fantasy sports?
Because they're not actual teams. Like, I'm picking,
Eli
Manning.
The best out of all the teams.
Say I pick Eli Manning from the Giants and I pick
Sean Green
from the
Jets. It's an all-star.
You are picking the best players from the pool of talent.
Mm-hmm. And then during the season, someone emerges as a surprise.
That tends to happen.
And what happens if he's not on anybody's team?
You release your guy.
You release your guy and pick up somebody who's all of a sudden emerging as a
star. That's what you do. Well, usually you have to plan it out beforehand, like a couple of weeks, depending on your league. Like a lot of guys I do fantasy sports with spend a lot of time
looking at
fantasy sports.
Now, that's my question. My question is the people who generally
spend... Their productivity at work, maybe 50%.
No, I wasn't going to ask that question. But these are avid sports fans.
Yes.
Fantasy football and baseball is not for the
casual. Football is easier to be casual because it's once a week.
Right.
You know if someone gets hurt.
You only have 16 weeks.
Yeah. You know if someone gets hurt. You know who's going to replace them. Very easy.
Right.
Fantasy baseball is much more in depth.
Because
and depending on the size of your league.
And it's 6 months long.
Depending on the size of your league, I'm in a fantasy baseball league with 17 teams.
Yeah.
That's a significant number of teams. So the third outfielder on like the Cleveland Indians is on a baseball team in my fantasy baseball league.
And he's not even that great.
He sucks.
Yeah.
The guy's awful.
Right.
You don't even know his name.
Right.
The whole Seattle starting offense is on someone's team in my fantasy baseball. Those guys are hitting like 200 this year. But those guys are taken because there are so many teams. But if you're in a smaller league with less people, you can pick an all-star team. You don't have to worry about it.
What kind of money is involved with the fantasy? Give me a range.
$100 for football?
For a whole season.
For a whole season.
And what's your possibility of winning?
Usually, I think it's about $700.
Oh, okay.
I think
you're better off being a whistleblower than a sports.
But that's more fun. I'm in a football pool where if you win a week, you win $900 for a $170 investment.
One week.
$910.
So maybe you could quit your day job, Jack.
I retired from fantasy sports.
Well, that's a football pick'em league.
It took too much time, even football, Jack?
Football doesn't take that much time. Basketball does take a lot of time as well.
Because there's a lot of games.
There's a lot of games.
80 games,
right?
Football takes too long. You're on it, checking it every day. It gets obsessive.
Yeah, I won a football pool last week. Last year, I won $900.
For a whole season?
For a week. I won 1 week.
Yeah, but what had you do season wise? You lost all the other weeks.
I laid in $170. I took away $910. I'm up.
Oh wait, you don't. There's a weekly winner.
That's an annual. Yeah, a weekly winner.
Weekly winner.
There's like 1,000 guys in the pool.
1,000 guys.
Something like that.
Wow.
So everyone puts in $100.
So if you win 1 week, you're ahead.
I'm good for 4 more years.
Ah. All right, so that's our choices today. You could be a whistleblower, new careers, or you could be a fantasy sports investor and see how you do. According to Andrew and Jack, takes up a lot of time. Your hourly rate's probably less than $10 an hour. All right, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.